Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Give me two.
Two LTZs. We're here live on a Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the United States of America. Actually, that's the time everywhere. Even if you're in Russia right now, it's 7.02 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So welcome aboard. It's me and your prospect pals, Benjamin Chase and Robbie Baseball. And today's focus will be on the next Big Three prospects. This is a series we've been doing for a few years now. We're very excited. We completed the American League, Ben. Now we're moving into the National League. This is our first National League episode. And we're going to focus on Arizona, Atlanta, and the Chicago Cubbies today. Are you excited?
Well, you know, I'm a big Braves guy, so I'm always excited to talk Braves. But the Braves are the team I don't want to talk about today, which is these are two really fun systems for different reasons. The Cubs are very top-heavy. The Diamondbacks have a lot of depth. So it's going to be a fun conversation.
Do you agree, Robbie?
I do. I am interested to talk about Atlanta also, but because what hasn't happened there, which is always fun with prospects, because it was a different Atlanta conversation a year ago than what we're about to have now. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm always interested to see how you twist it, Ben. They've got enough in the system. It's all good. Da 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 da. But that's the fun of prospects for all of us. Hope, baby, hope.
What dreams may come. That's right. We have a list of our top three, and then you'll get the next big three for each team today. And we're going to go in the order of Ben's Atlanta. We're not going with the Atlanta Braves first, and we're going to call them Ben's Atlanta Braves the whole show, though, so just be prepared for that. But it'll be the Diamondbacks, Braves, and then we'll finish up with the Cubbies today. And if you want to use the live chat, please jump in. We're live for a reason, so it's not just us recording. We could record offline, but we come online live with you for you because we want to be a part of the chat and see what you guys think. Disagreements or other players that maybe pop up in your guys' minds that Ben and Robbie didn't think of, though it seems very unlikely to me that Ben or Robbie would miss much with either or any MLB organization when it comes to the minor leagues. These guys have Dynasty on lockdown.
I'm currently in two prospect and one universal.
Oh, you're locked in then.
So any name that I've never heard of is immediately on the board, and then it's let's watch some video. So, and spring training, you don't get the minor league video unless you have the deep dive friends like Eric Birdland, who did it with the Orioles for years, and others. You got to find those networks, those excellent guys who can lead you to the next one. But otherwise, any name that comes up right now, I'm taking it just as serious as any other name that's out there. So if you've got one you think has something, throw it in that chat for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're also, me and Robbie are doing our are we in the last round now of our draft for the player to be named later league?
Yeah, I think it's about done. 30 or so picks left, and that'll be 300 prospects off the board. It's funny, if you watch, the later picks become so much more valuable for teams who have empty prospect spots, like rosters, and they want them filled because they're like, that guy's still out there. You know, Quad A guy is still out there, and this 18-year-old is still out there. I want both of them, you know. So then they're trying to trade next year's picks for this year's. And somebody tried to trade me Logan Allen for three late round picks. And I'm like, if it wasn't for the way my team was made up, I'd be all over that. But we just don't have enough bench spots, and we don't know what's up with Logan Allen. The Guardians, Cleveland? Logan Allen, for anyone out there. I don't think there is a second one anymore.
Yeah, that kind of
makes sense. They still exist. I mean, he hasn't passed away or anything.
I don't know if he's still a professional baseball player worthy of dynasty conversation or fantasy conversation.
Good point. Yep.
This is our draft, and I just wanted to show real quick to Ben that I drafted Ty Weatherly because of you. I took a shot in round five. I said, why not? Mm-hmm. Also, I took Anderson Brito second round because of you guys when you did your Houston Astros show. All because of this show is the reason I took him.
Yeah, and when we were talking Rangers, I was trying to be coy. If you look under where the Cardinals are on my first round pick, I traded back thinking he was going to fall back to me. And Alejandro Rosario did fall back to me at 25. And 3 days later, Tommy John surgery or elbow, whatever. And I'm like, damn it.
Oh, no.
And there's one
more. Oh, he's done?
Yeah, there's one more guy
that I hadn't heard yet.
I was planning on drafting, and I'm debating whether I'll take him in this league or not because he's going to be out. And I don't want to say his name in case you pick him, Govia, because I believe I have two picks left in this one. Okay. But he is a more recently injured pitcher who I was quite excited about and may have mentioned in the AL next three for one of the teams.
Yeah.
So if anyone out there really wants to screw me over, you go listen to all those. Steal the player and we'll be even.
and please make sure you like the video and subscribe.
And where are you?
And leave us a comment. Yeah, engage, folks.
Look at Ben. Ben, you're so good at that now. It's like, it's just second nature to you. And yes, we're closing in on the final 50 subscribers. As of this video right now, we're at 953.
For those who remember, Robbie and I promised on our starting pitcher fantasy show, if we get to that before opening day, we're going to sit down. We're going to go through every stinking rotation that's projected in the major leagues. So, and I promise I will actually do that. I don't know when that's going to work time-wise in between now and opening day with life and all that fun stuff. But we will make it happen.
Absolutely.
Okay. See you guys. All right. Well, let's get into it then. Let's focus in on our first team of the evening. It's called... They're called, it's not an it's, they are an organization, and they're named after a snake, I believe. A diamondback is a snake. I'm not familiar with it. I don't like snakes. I don't spend a lot of time with snakes, but I do know baseball. And the Arizona Diamondbacks right now are in a unique position. They got some talent in their system, and they're on the brink of trying to get back to the World Series, which they kind of prematurely got to a couple of years ago. And I'm very curious to see which direction you guys go in today. So, Ben, you want to kick it off with your top three for the Arizona Diamondbacks of 2025?
So do we want to look back at last year's or are we going to go straight
ahead? Of course. Okay. Oh, yeah. Last you know year, the drill.
Big three I had, unfortunately, still available for me. Jordan Lawler and then Drew Jones and Tommy Troy. And unfortunately, all three of those are still available for me to talk about this year. I'm going to talk about two of those three. Jordan Lawler is still there. Lost a season to injury, but talent is still there. I told somebody compared where Lawler is to Royce Lewis recently.
Oh, wow. That's
scary. And his process through the minors and how folks were really backing off. And I said, I don't think it's quite that hard because Lawler still is getting... He's always been a top 50 guy along the way, even with the injury, even with the, you know, not pushing through to the majors, all that. Whereas Lewis, there were some folks who just wanted to really badmouth the crap out of him right out of high school. And because he was an unexpected number one. And so everyone thought that the Twins maybe had, you know, taken a dive as far as the money was concerned. But anyway, Lawler's still there. Still, I don't think he's going to walk out of spring training with a full-time job. And good Lord, if you haven't drafted yet and you are in a single season league and you have a chance to wait on third and take a flyer on Eugenio Suarez as your, like, I forgot about third base until round 22 guy, he is tearing up spring again after just absolutely ripping apart the major leagues in the second half last year. So Lawler might not have a job on opening day. My other second guy is also one that will probably see plenty of major league time this year. Yelber Diaz popped up last year, made a couple spot starts. Probably a back-end guy, swing man. Could be really good in a relief-only role, but they haven't made that decision yet with him. But, you know, just looking at it, he's likely going to get some significant innings this year for the Diamondbacks, so he made it into that spot. And then finally, I know I'm going to raise some feathers with folks because I'm going to have Drew Jones in there again. And a lot of it, if I were to tell you that there is a player playing Gold Glove center field with a 400 on base percentage and some of the top 10 home to first times for a right-handed hitter in the minor leagues, wouldn't you be interested in that guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
And when he's been in the field and been healthy, it's been very impressive. He just hasn't been that guy that everyone expected him to be. That's the problem. Is everyone thought, oh, this is Andrew Jones's son, and so he's going to be this, you know, monster power hitter. And frankly, in high school, he did rip some big bombs, and so people, you know, remember that. But that's against high school pitching. And he's kind of settling into, honestly, a very similar player to what Corbin Carroll is at his best. You know, a 15, 20, 25 home run guy, lots of gap power, and 30-plus steal guy with really good defense. That's, if you can fill an outfield with that, you're going to do just fine as a team. And I think Drew Jones has took that step this year. We'll see how he handles the upper minors. But here's my thing. Quick thing for those who don't remember with Arizona's system. Looking at hitter numbers in their AA and AAA parks will get you really excited about their hitters and really hating their pitchers because they have two of the most hitter-friendly parks in all of the minor leagues at AA and AAA for Arizona. So
that's important to remember.
Just keep that in mind when you're looking at numbers start to pop off of guys for guys as they start the season.
I've been diving a lot more into that this year with Sacramento now being a Major League Baseball park this year, comparing it to the rest of the PCL, which already has a rep for, you know, bomb fest. Yee-hee, woohoo, home runs! Sacramento, not as much, but that's a different story for another time. Robert, what about you, buddy? Top three Diamondbacks currently. Also, what was last year's? And I, sorry, Ben, I didn't mean to screw you over, but I do have Robbie's last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Minor worthy. So Lawler, Yumin Lin, the lefty pitcher, and Drew Jones. I am repeating two of those names this year, and I'll discuss the one I'm not right now, which is Yumin Lin. Not that he didn't do anything well, but to your point, Ben, bang on. The parks were not on his side last year in AA. Mm-hmm. He was fighting a tough park, and the results weren't there. Doesn't mean I don't like him. Just means he's not the shiny new toy. Who did have an excellent 2024 and ended up making his MLB debut, and I can't believe I'm promoting the idea of this for fantasy, is a catcher. Adrian Del Castillo is the guy joining Lawler and Jones back. Yeah. And I mean, I went into this offseason thinking I would like my ideal combo of low-value MLB catcher and higher potential ceiling prospect was Connor Wong and Adrian Del Castillo. That was one that I thought I'd be able to acquire players, those guys, if I didn't have them. Wong, I have in two very key leagues for me. In the one that I don't have him, I have Cal Raleigh, so I wasn't looking. But Castillo has evaded me everywhere because he came up last year, and despite not, you know, lighting the world on fire, he was fine. And also that AAA stat line has just allowed people to forget the fact that there are possibly two other catchers who could be in front of him, because I don't think Arizona wants him to sit on the bench in the pros or in the big league. Sorry. Yeah. I think they want him to play in AAA and continue to show that he can crush whatever is in his path, you know, on the mound, and also catch all the pitchers, which I think is good for him. But I think it means he's on the door. I would like to see him bust through. When we did our dynasty catchers, I have him high up. Go listen to that one if you're curious exactly where. And I think it's the long play on him. It's not the short one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just, to me, is Gabriel Moreno his job to lose, as people are saying, but I don't think he's got the potential that Del Castillo does for helping his MLB team as well as helping us for fantasy, which is really our focus here. He needs at bats, and he can help us for fantasy. So I've got Lawler, Del Castillo, and Drew Jones. I don't need to talk about Lawler and Jones. We know what's up, you know?
And I know what time it is.
I'm a big fan of his. I worry with, I mean, they have two guys in-house in Herrera and Pinto that they're kind are just kind of a both of them are perfect backup guys. Really not guys that should be starting anywhere, but are solid behind the plate. They're probably not going to do, they're probably not going to look a whole lot better than Martin Maldonado with the bat, but you know, they're going to do just fine as a backup guy, as long as Moreno's healthy. Now about the only way you're going to see Del Castillo potentially get some run is if Moreno has a big injury. And unfortunately that's been a little bit of his history.
Yeah.
That Moreno's had some big time stuff, but
gave his chance last year because of injury.
Yep. Yep. And you know, I don't know. I would love to see him. The power is legit. I don't know that his average, his OBP is going to be the same when he gets to the majors as what he saw in AAA, but it is legit power. And this is a guy who could hit you, you know, if he's a 250, 320 with 20 home run power, that's a pretty solid offensive minded catcher, you know,
especially at the catcher position. Yeah.
I mean, especially at the catcher position, that's going to play. So
I love it. I love this dude. Last year, I was in the redraft videos here talking about him late in the season. I did have him in our league that me and Robbie showed you guys earlier. So I kind of got on him in when I, thanks to the forecaster. I do have to give a shout out to the minor league forecaster from good old Baseball HQ. Kind of led me in on him a couple years ago. But where I really honed my craft was listening to these geniuses here, Robbie Baseball and Benjamin Chase on the Palazzo Podcast, 2Ls2Zs.
Utah.
So
give me two.
Benjamin, then. Let's get into the next big three in the Diamondback system. And I do have your silly video, which actually is more apropos today because we are going to be talking about the Braves. But this is not a Brave. This is the Diamondback still.
Well, I mean, it depends.
Number eight there, Ben, looks like a guy the Braves used to sign about a decade ago, right? He'd be that old. They'd make a handshake agreement. They're going to sign that guy. Get him some condos.
Now. That's that GM is no longer in Major League Baseball. So
bye-bye.
although for what, you know, he is actually reinstated, so he could take a job. He just has,
everyone deserves a second chance. Yeah, we all make mistakes. I'm with you there.
Last year, for my next three, I had Yumin Lin. We talked about him a little bit. I had Ivan Melendez and that did not go well. I had Christian Robinson and that was kind of a mixed bag. He had a recovery year. You know, really, it's what it was. And then I had Hansel Lewis as kind of an extra name because I just couldn't leave him out with everything I was hearing about him. And that turned into a pretty good choice. Though he did not make my list because the Diamondbacks happened to pick two of my absolute favorites in the 24 draft. The first one I'm going to mention here, though, is Demetrio Crisantes. I think pretty much you're hearing that name all over the place.
He's popular in a lot of
top 100s. I think this guy, my worry with him is watching him defensively. He's kind of a tweener. He's a guy who he's stronger going to his left than his right in his range, but he doesn't really have the arm for short. So that's usually a good quality you want out of a shortstop, is going strong to your left, but you also need that arm, and not being able to go as strong to your right for a second baseman is not so great. And so, yeah, I don't know what to do with him, but the contact skills are legit. I think this is a guy who could be a very low strikeout, high contact sort of guy. I just don't know what else is for sure going to be there. But then, beyond him, the two outfielders that I really liked in this draft last year were Slade Caldwell, high school outfielder, and very
another Slade.
Fan. Yeah,
they got rid of Slade Ciccone, and I was so sad there was no more Slades in Arizona. But we got a new Slade in Arizona. Slade.
And then the other one is Ryan Waldschmidt, and I'm a big fan of his. I was really surprised he fell all the way to Arizona, but they also had a draft. We talked about this during our time talking about draft stuff last year. Arizona had a number of picks and could play with the draft a little bit, and I think that that helped them to move Waldschmidt to them once he got beyond like pick 15.
They had the money to make that work. Yeah, because I think they had three of the top 40 picks or something like that. They were the like Mariners the year before. It was Arizona last year that had the extra.
Yep. I really like both of those guys, and I think it'll be fun just to see. Caldwell's kind of an old school, doesn't do anything elite sort of guy, but does a lot of things well, and maybe is more of a sum of the parts type of player. But those type of guys coming out of high school, if they're developed well, find that one tool that they can do a whole lot with and turn into exceptional ball players. But we'll see. I like I said, these are two of my favorites. That's why they're on my next three, because Diamondbacks got both of them in the draft. Hey, now.
I don't know which lady's talking about. Is he making fun of Ciccone? Doesn't throw hard enough? I'm not sure. By the way, you talk about the PCL being a nightmare for pitchers. I think they brought Slade Ciccone up after he had like a 6.11 ERA in Triple A. So you just got to reformat your lens on those PCL pitchers in certain parks.
Yeah.
I did want to, I know we're doing a show here, but when people take the time to ask a question, real quick here, Justo San, welcome in. Make sure you subscribe. Which two of would you guys keep? Logan Gilbert, Marcell Ozuna, or Junior Caminero? That's what it comes down to. You got to pick two of the three between Gilbert, Ozuna, and Caminero.
I, even as a Braves guy, I'm taking Gilbert and Caminero pretty easily. I'm just
There's a ton of value in Caminero that far back in that draft. Yep. Lindor and shorts up deep. You're in a 10 team, so you can let Lindor go. Yeah.
Okay. See? There you go. Oh, yeah. We fit you guys in here on the Blotto Podcast. All right, Robbie, now it's time for your next big three of the Arizona D-backs.
Yeah, so last year my next three were Christopher Torin, 2022 J15 guy, Kevin Sim, son of a Korean baseball legend, and Ricardo Yan, a pitcher who I was quite excited about. And I didn't want to repeat names. I did that for most of the episode on the next three guys. I wanted to focus in on more. Ryan Waldschmidt is on my list this year. He's just such an excellent OBP guy. I would like to see more of him. And my note is, like, as I get more exposure to him, he just seems to get better. You know, not necessarily scouted on or scouting reports stating he's a really intelligent base runner. But it seemed like he was fine in what I've seen, and improvements seem to be in scouting notes that have come since the original time post-draft that I was reading up on him. So I think we'll see him in Double-A this summer, and as Ben discussed earlier, that could mean some real big eye-popping stat lines, which is going to pop him up a lot of those lists where people like to pump and dump guys. I also have Tim Tawa, who was an 11th round pick in 2021. Mm-hmm. Very solid. He's, I think, 26. The age in Arizona, his age and the depth in Arizona might not make him ideal. He's a second baseman, and they're pretty crowded on that infield now. Yeah. So I don't know if he is going to, that's why I have him in the next, not the big three, because I feel like he might not end up getting to do his thing with the Diamondbacks. He could be, you know, once upon a time, Alex Call was just let go from Cleveland when they were trying to do the right thing for a player who they didn't have a spot for. And he ended up with some time in the big leagues with the Nationals, and he may still have a job with the Nationals. We'll see, but he's now less than, I think, 500 MLB at bats, and he's 29. Tim Tawa might be one of those type of guys that it takes him two more years before he can kind of accrue, well, 2 to 3 years to accrue a major league season, but he's ready to get a shot. I just don't know if it's with Arizona. And then Jacob Steinmetz is my other guy, right-handed pitcher. 2021 third-round pick, slow roll, high school draft. Pro results aren't eye-popping, but that's okay because his build is good and he can improve his ground ball rate, get better D, and tune in some 30-grade control to elevate his four-pitch mix. That's what my scouting note says. Turn his 30-grade control into something a little more. So that's, you know, 6'6", 230 pounds. He's not 22 yet. I'm interested in somebody like that who is getting moved along. And again, like, as we've discussed now, you don't get to look at stat lines for results necessarily with Arizona, especially as you get up higher. So it's all about what's going on and how does the coaching staff feel about them? Yeah. And that's where you really have to dive deep and like find the podcasts about the Arizona Diamondbacks prospects, which are out there.
Yeah.
Just like ours are. There was a really good one with the Rockies, a couple reporters I listened to, and they can really make me they're very anti-MLB team and how they run, very honest about how things go with their prospects. The Diamondbacks have those guys too. Just got to figure out who they are and then lend them an ear. And I think Steinmetz could be one of those sleepery type guys who the line doesn't look right. You could eventually get him, and maybe he'll be able to pop when he gets to MLB.
Excellent. Wow. What about the potpourri, the extraneous bonus parts here in the Diamondback system?
Man, I've got a list with this system because this is a really fun deep system. Yansel Lewis, who you know we both have mentioned, we were talking about last year, was a big money guy in 2022. Tons of tools, and I think he finally leaned into he's not a home run hitter, and so he was really spraying line drives all around last year, and then using his speed. But stealing bases, he's really undisciplined. And at the plate, he needs to work on the discipline, but really took a big step forward in how he swings into the ball. Rather than trying to yoink everything into the seats, he was really sticking with pitches and putting them all over the field, which was really impressive to watch. Geno Groover is a guy who I'm struggling to figure out where I want to stick him defensively, just pretty much anywhere in the infield except short. Well, I mean, most guys, you got to be a pretty darn elite defender to be a major league shortstop, and that's kind of – he's not that. But really good contact skills. I kind of thought he was going to be a guy who could be big contact, big power. And if you look at him physically, I don't have it in front of me how big he is, but – He's
6'1", 212, they say.
Yeah. If you look at him, he's spent some time in the weight room and just is not translating that into putting the ball in the air and out of the park. But that kind of contact skills, if he can play around the infield, you can do some things. That's kind of, you know, Tawa kind of has that same thing. You know, if you can make good contact, you can play around the infield, you can do some things. But
He's got a great name, too. I mean, that name, Geno Groover, it's tailor-made to groove pitches out of the park.
Govi, you set me up so well, and you don't even know that. The first-round pick, or one of the first-round picks for the Diamondbacks this year, was a guy who has a great name, J.D. Dix. injury. Yay! He had an injury this last spring, and he was probably one of the better shortstops in a really deep high school shortstop class, and then that injury bumped him back a long ways. Diamondbacks got him amongst their early picks for kind of a pretty decent savings from what he was expected, but a switch hitting guy, ton of tools. Yeah, he's going to be fun to watch, and he's from Wisconsin. Those cold weather guys that haven't played a ton of baseball but have a lot of raw tools, they can just suddenly take off too.
Beautiful swing already. Yeah. That left-handed swing is gorgeous.
We talked about Torin, another guy from their 2022 IFA class. Really fun defender to watch and patient, but I'm not sure what else he's going to have offensively.
Christopher with an F, not the PH.
Yes.
Some people prefer PH, but he goes with the F.
Yasel Soler. Yassel. He's a third baseman, and he got to full season ball this last year. He was a 23 IFA guy. Really aggressive at the plate, but he's kind of one of those guys where so far it's worked. He doesn't take a lot of pitches, but he doesn't miss very many in the zone when he goes after him. So it's worked so far, but interesting one to watch.
He was at AFL. Okay. Yeah.
Was he at AFL? Okay.
This is saying, unless this is lying to me, so who knows?
Well.
Oh, no, it wasn't AFL. My bad. Wrong. I was wrong.
AZL he might have been in. Yeah. He might have been in the complex league there. And then last of the hitters, Tommy Troy, who actually was at the AFL, looked quite good at the AFL. But he's heading into the upper levels of that system. And I haven't seen enough from him to make me think that the numbers he's going to put up in AA and AAA for them are real. I haven't seen enough to say, hey, that's a future solid hitter. We'll have to see. Pitching wise, Caden Grace, they picked in, this is a guy up Robbie's, just perfect for Robbie's profile. Lefty, 6 foot six, 250 pounds. Do I have your attention, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. But you should.
second rounder out of Clemson. He was a two-way guy until this year. They even let him go both ways in his draft year. Let him pitch a little.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Very little. No, I mean, no, hey, yeah. You do you.
That's right.
Big strikeout stuff. We'll have to see what the control does. Right now, he's got two really good pitches. But like I said, he hasn't been a full-time pitcher ever before. So this is a guy who could be really fun to watch this year. But more than likely, after this year, he'll hit the upper minors for them, and numbers won't look as good. So you'll have to watch for, is he figuring out control, things like that. A lefty who did get up to second round or into the upper minors a little bit at the end of the year, Spencer Geistling, is a lefty, kind of number four, number five type of stuff. But he got to 140-plus innings last year. And 11th-round pick out of UNC Charlotte in 22. Just a lot of average-ish pitches, but knows how to work them. And, you know, we'll see how he handles getting his brains beat in every couple starts in the upper minors this year.
From what I recall, he's supposed to be a slider-out guy, and he wasn't getting a lot of the – I'm trying to think of what – he didn't have a great K to nine, did he? Feel like he's supposed to be like bullpen risk, but it's not closer. It's like long guy, like Ryan Tepera, because he just doesn't have the stuff to outlast guys. Yeah, 44 walks last year. Yeah, 154 Ks and 141, which is fine, but it's
for lower levels. That's not what a college guy should be doing.
Yeah.
So Daniel Egan is one that was really interesting to me out of their draft class this year. He is? Third rounder, from Presbyterian, which is like a D3 school. And like average to above average pitches all across the board, but he's never really had any pitching development. He did that, you know, at a D3 school. And he's really going to be fun to see if that can tick up, because he's got the frame, he's got the delivery to be a very potential mid-rotation type of guy. And then last is Joe Elbis. He's kind of finally made it up. He was a 2019 IFA guy, and you don't hear us talk a lot about guys who are Latin signees that are pitchers that succeed, and there's a reason. But he has I want to say it's an upper 90s, but for sure I saw a lot of 95, 96 when I was watching him. But a sinker that is just heavy, heavy, heavy. And then he pairs that with a slider that he can kind of move two different ways. And so right now it's those two pitches primarily, which kind of makes you wonder if there's a little reliever risk. But he did get up to AA last year. A sinker baller in their ballparks in the upper levels could actually put up halfway decent numbers. So be something to watch there.
Really?
But it could be one of those things where a sinker baller puts up halfway decent numbers there and doesn't have a third pitch to get anyone out once he gets to the majors. So, that's the whole issue. So,
I guess that's the negative right there. You got to watch out.
That's my long list of Arizona guys. So,
wow, that was amazing, Robbie. Do you have any additions to that?
I mean, he clicked them all, really. I want to make sure people are aware that despite not going heavy on Ricardo Yan repeating or Yumin Lin, I still like both of these guys.
Yeah.
It's simply a matter of under the radar, and I don't think the lines are going to get better for them as we discussed. So they're, to me, valuable future fantasy assets, but they are certainly not going to, you know, be popping up lists. I know Min was getting close before last year started. He was a potential.
Who's the other guy? Ricardo? Who? What's his name?
Yan. Y-A-N.
Okay, Ricardo Yan. Thank you.
And Lynn was in looked really good in the AFL. That's the thing is, you know, these guys get into more normalized pitching, and sometimes it sticks out that, hey, they're throwing a lot better than they did in double A, triple A. It's like, well, yeah, because they're worried that if they throw certain pitches, it's going to end up 400 feet away. So, Lynn had a really solid year. He's a guy to definitely be watching.
Ricardo Yan's on your screen here live for those of you watching on YouTube.
I love the low slot. That's a fun.
Yeah, look at that.
Watch fun this. Delivery.
Yeah. He's got a body on him. I will say that for Yan. I'm in. I'm all in. Let's party.
Let's party.
So you reiterated those two. Anybody else, Robbie? I mean, do you think it's a special system middle of the road?
Yeah, I think this is a system where, like, we could just click on the names of the team, you know, lineups and find guys. You can just find guys that seem like they've got tools, and then it's about developing. And I mean, unfortunately for the prospects, they are so locked with that infield outside of, you know, Suarez at third, that it is going to be a grind.
And even in the outfield to get up. Too.
Yeah, very true. But yeah, like realistically, I mean, you've got Randall Grichuk, who's a veteran MLB-er, who's locked into a bench spot on that lineup. And you as a prospect need to, you know, not just like beat out him as an outfielder, but you need to be able to get regular at bats. Like, they're not going to push you up to do that. They're not going to push anybody up to do that. So I think it's a really deep system, but we're not going to see a lot of movement with these guys graduating because they are very locked in with their MLBers. Now, six injuries later, things are going to open up. But until that happens,
very doable. It happens. It does. That's how we get there. That's how opportunities pop up. Okay. So we think we've covered Arizona. The Diamondbacks are top three and next big three, courtesy of Robbie Baseball and Benjamin Chase. Follow these guys on Twitter, wherever the hell you can find them. Our Discord is free, and you can jump in there. It's in our description for the link on that. I'm in there, too, and a lot of other fun people who know prospects. A lot of people love talking Dynasty. It's a good place to connect and ask questions for free. There are no charges. There's no penalties. There's no fear of retribution. You are welcome in the Palazzo Podcast Discord, 2Ls Tuesdays. All right. Now it's time for
Utah.
There give it me is. Two. Ben is
the
getting...
Braves.
Yeah. What a celebration. What a moment to be alive. We get to be alive in 2025 and talk Atlanta Braves prospects. So, Ben, you absolutely have to lead this off because you are the master. We all bow down to you when it comes to Atlanta. Who are this year's top three? Of course, who were last year's top three?
And frankly, I like my last year's ones as far as they turned out sort of how I thought they would, but not the results. Last year, I had A.J. Smith-Shawver, Hurston Waldrop, and Ignacio Nacho Alvarez. That was last year's crew. And all three of them were in the majors, various levels of effectiveness. I will say, Smith-Shawver, with some injury stuff, came back at the end of the season. He was actually on their playoff roster, which tells you something about what the team thought of him. But that's, he really, none of them had the major league debut that you were hoping for. Let's put it that way. But
yes,
I thought there would be more from him.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Okay.
So this year's crew, I actually repeat two of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have Drake Baldwin first, and he was probably my seventh guy last year, and really was hoping he would break through, and he did, and he looks really good. A.J. Smith-Shawver, I have him repeating. Don't know if he'll be their number five guy this year or if he's going to be their number seven starter. They're coming up at first sign of injury, which...
Yeah, there's too many guys without options, right? Like, it's Anderson and
it is, Holmes, is it? Yeah.
Right? Neither have options.
Holmes doesn't. Holmes, though, could move back to the bullpen. That's the one
thing. Yeah, that's him. True.
He was very successful there. But Ian Anderson is pretty much, it's rotation or bust for him at this point.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ian Anderson. But old pal.
Then Nacho Alvarez, he did not succeed well last year, or succeed when he came up last year, and frankly that was a really crappy spot to put him at, and it kind of kicked him in the confidence butt for a little bit when he went back down to AAA. But this is a guy who like exploded through the system in a matter of 2 years and just kind of needed some time to readjust and recover, and looked really good in the last month in AAA again. I don't know that he is going to be sitting on the major league roster when opening day comes, but if Orlando Arcia plays the way that he did again last year, and I think that is a much better way to bring Alvarez up, because that was the other thing, is they brought Alvarez up, brought him to second base, and the week before he played his first ever professional game at second base in AAA, because there were injury issues, they were trying some other guys, and none of them were working out while Albies was hurt, and so then they decided to bring him up to take that spot, and it just, you shouldn't be learning a new position as you're debuting in the major leagues. It's just not a good combination.
Reasonable, yes.
He is, I could absolutely see him still being a, if crap hits the, if stuff hits the fan with Arcia, I could absolutely see Alvarez getting a shot.
Wow.
After this season, you'll be sent back to the minors. Or given your outright release.
Oh, that's Ian Anderson.
That's Ian Anderson. Unfortunately. Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a shot.
I loved Ian, but, you know, yeah. That's
a, we all loved Ian story. Once upon a time, but we had
still
to
roster him in a league, so I still got
you
him.
You do?
In our points league. I've got him. I got him on a deal last year, and I've let him sit on my bench for an entire season, essentially so that he could be in my rotation this year. So he will be a quick cut if in April he's not in the rotation and he's not producing points. But got to give the guy every last opportunity, because we've seen him be successful. It's just his body's obviously changed through injury.
In the playoffs even. I mean, playoffs. But, you know, playoffs. I mean, yeah, he's
playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't take you long, man.
Sometimes they're just sitting there. Sometimes if you say the right words, sometimes it's just sitting there. Other times, not so lucky. So, Robert. Now, top three. What was your last year's top three? And are there any changes for your Chicago Cubs top three this year? Just kidding. Braves. We're talking Atlanta about Braves. The Braves, and I screwed up because I put the wrong graphic to prepare.
We'll save that one, and I'm ready to roll.
At least it's done.
Big three, I was excited about Hurston Waldrop, as we all were. I was excited about Owen Murphy. He seemed like he was going to be fun and exciting. And A.J. Smith-Shawver was the popular pick, and I'm one of those girls who just wants to be around the popular kids. So that's who I had this year. Despite the reality check, I still have Owen Murphy. I still have Hurston, and I've added, again, disappointing two straight teams, a catcher, Drake Baldwin, has joined this year. The reason that Smith-Shawver is not there anymore doesn't necessarily have to do with how he's done, you know, professionally. It's more about promoting Baldwin on our podcast. I still think Shaver's great to go get, good to have within your dynasty league. The deeper the roster, the more valuable he can become. But as mentioned, Atlanta does have what many teams can have if they are lucky, which is a roster crunch. And the crappy part is when they don't have options left, you push your prospects with options down. You give those veteran-y type guys their final shot. And that's what it is. Baldwin, I mean, super solid both sides of the ball. We've talked about him before, Ben. We both think he's an excellent asset for the Braves. It's just a matter of time before they trade him. And then sign, you know, maybe they'll trade him to the Angels and they'll get Darno back, right?
Darno back.
I was just going to say, what they're going to end up doing is they're going to find the next, you know, Sean Murphy, who everyone says is the cusp of becoming the next
Cal Raleigh. They're going to bring in Cal Raleigh.
There we go. That'll be exactly the type of thing that'll happen, is they're going to take some guy that everyone's like, well, he's been really good for 2-3 years, and he's on the cusp of becoming the elite catcher in the major leagues, and then not so much.
Well, I mean, a year ago, we were talking very highly of Waldrop being like ready to go, MLB, you're out of the box. And then this year, his innings were down. And I don't recall him having an IL stint. Perhaps he did, but
he did.
That's
what stopped him in the majors. So.
Okay. So then that's where I miss it, because I was looking at his minor leagues trying to figure out, did he have a break here or there? Because he got 97 some innings in the minors last year, But he didn't have that elite stat line that people were expecting, but they were expecting him to be able to repeat his 100 and less than 110 innings in college ball with 150 plus Ks. They were wondering why that went away. And then if you'll look at prospect lists, they've all just kind of went away from him. You know what? He didn't take off. He's not the guy we thought he was. So we're out on him. I'm not.
Yeah.
But his stock is down, it's not over. Which is an excellent time to go and get somebody who has had one professional year. And
always.
Atlanta has this recent history of bringing the guys up and they're successful. Well, he didn't do that. Therefore, he's garbage. And I'm not agreeing with that math. So I would happily go and get him for, you know, the J2 guy that's popped in the last 2 years that you think, you know, or basically anyone on the Brewers when we get to them.
That's a system that's loaded with, everyone says that's an elite system, but a lot of it is J2 guys. So we'll get into that when we get to that.
But anyway, that's my big three from this year for this year and my big three wrap up from last year.
All right. Well, we're live here in the Palazzo Podcast 2LZZ.
Utah.
Baseball, Benjamin Chase, myself, Michael Govier. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll find out who the Atlanta Braves' next big three are for each one of these fellas, Benjamin and Robbie. Right after this.
Red alert. Red alert. Commercials incoming. Please be prepared to ignore them. These people are not your friends. These messages are intended to make you feel bad or that something is missing from your life. Red alert. Commercials incoming. Prepare to enable the use of your 15-second skip ahead button. You are in terrible peril. Red alert. Red alert. Commercials incoming. In 3, 2, 1.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
O'Reilly. Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan.
It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly VeriScan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Take a sniff. Oh, pull it out.
We studied that commercial in college in marketing classes, and because of the double entendres that are very present in that entire commercial.
I know, right? Take a sniff, pull it out. Gets me every time. I'll never get over it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Juicy Fruit, for sponsoring the Palazzo podcast. We have Nestle's and Juicy Fruit now. We're really gaining some mega sponsors here. All right, so Benjamin, who are the next big three for the Atlanta Braves? We're all dying here. People have been waiting all year for this because you know the Braves pretty well, man. So who are the three?
Last year, I had J.R. Ritchie as he was coming back from Tommy John on my next big three. I had Owen Murphy, and I had some guy named Spencer Schwellenbachy or something like that.
Weird name.
Never heard of her.
Yeah, exactly. This year, the Braves, I have Hurston Waldrop in that group.
You've demoted. Really,
takes a hit.
Kind of. More that I think he is moved down to where they want to see him work between AA and AAA to show that he's still a starter this year.
Okay. I wonder if you thought there was RP risk. Yeah.
Yeah. And there is. There will be. That's kind of the big thing that screwed him in the major leagues, is he just didn't have that third pitch to go to when he got into a spot with control stuff. And he's going to have control stuff the way that his pitches move. That split finger is absolutely wicked, but it consistently finishes outside the zone. So you need to set up some stuff in the zone to get a guy to swing after something that's dropping out. But the Braves were blessed, I guess, if you want to call it that, to get arguably the top high school arm in the draft last year in Cam Caminiti. And I think his stuff and his delivery, and this might be a year or two project, but he's going to be a guy that in 26 or in 27 suddenly goes from high A to triple A in a week. And is on the doorstep, just figures, you know, they're going to work with him on shaping his pitches, on his delivery a little bit, and this is going to blow up real fast. The last one I have is Drew Hackenberg, and comes from a really athletic family. He has siblings all over the place that made the major league.
Is that his Instagram, Govia, you're on?
I was just going to say.
That was Cam Caminiti's girlfriend, Ava Fast, from Instagram. That's right. They're very proud.
Hey,
they both grew up in the same town where they won the state title in high school.
Not an ugly girlfriend. That's a good thing.
Lovely lady. Congratulations, so Cam. You're doing very well.
But Hackenberg is a guy who last year, I mean, he was drafted and had kind of struggled with some injury in college and such. Really took a step forward. And from everyone I've talked with in the Brave system, the words you hear about him are very similar to what you heard about Schwellenbach coming into last year. And
is he related to Christian?
Yeah. Yep. And I think has a brother who played, in the major leagues for a hair, and then had a brother who played in the NFL, has a sister who's a professional athlete as well. I mean, this is a very, very athletic family in general, but
that always helps.
Yeah. So those are mine, and I have others, but we'll let Robbie say. And
I've been holding this back. I've been holding this back because he's brought him up in the chat three times, but I didn't want to spoil anything. So we'll see if Robbie.
I don't know if Robbie wants to mention him, but if not, I've got him on my list. So when we get after this, so
all right.
Yeah, last year I had a little bit of a J2 tinkle in my pants for Mario Baez, 19-year-old DSLer. I had Douglas Glaude as well, and then I had Isaiah Drake, couple of outfielders, young, all very young with Atlanta. Mm-hmm. That is their natural path here with the next three that they've got. And this year I do also have Ken Caminiti on the list. It's hard not to. You'd love to put him up you know, with the next three, but then my next three would have been, you know, young guys, you know, Murphy,
too young.
Amenity would have, not realistic to what the podcast here is supposed to be doing for everybody. I also have Didier Fuentes on it, 19-year-old right-handed pitcher from the from the 22 international class. You know, three solid pitches, fastball, slider, splitter, which will take future rotation piece. The projection is very positive on him. And I took a 6-round pick out of last year's draft, Ethan Bagwell, a right-handed pitcher. You know, this is a little bit of body love. He is throwing from the right side. I'll forgive it. But he's big on the fastball with three pitches total. 6'4", should get annual improvement as the body shouldn't have much left in the growth department. So it's a matter of contain and control as he develops so he doesn't end up flailing off to the bullpen. You know, keep him as a starter. So those are my guys, Caminiti, Fuentes, and Bagwell. So, yeah.
No Lucas Braun.
I did not have Braun. I can't remember if it was Atlanta last year or one of the other teams where neither Ben or I picked somebody who seemed logical, but it's because you can just find potential elsewhere, as we both have with the next three. So,
And the Braves develop arms. That's what they've been doing. And, you know, I had mentioned Richie and Murphy last year, didn't have him in this year. Murphy, he was on his way to a big jump forward last year before he had Tommy John. He was doing all the things you want a number two starter, a really good number three, or a very solid number two type of starter to do. And then his elbow popped. So that's really, really unfortunate. J.R. Richie, after Tommy John this year, first full season since they drafted him, and things really looked good. It's just he had almost no time and had the normal control stuff that you do when you come back from Tommy John. So that's a guy that you could maybe really blow up. So we'll get to it, to our to Uncle Ted's guy, Lucas Braun, 6th round pick in 23, Cal State Northridge, a really solid pitcher all around. That's what I hear from everyone in the Braves system. That's what I hear from people outside the Braves system. And so one of the guys who was with Mississippi last year, they no longer have a team in Mississippi, but I was talking with him and I said, so who in the Braves past does he compare to? And he's just almost immediately said, he's John Burkett. And I don't know if you guys remember
San Francisco John Burkett. Giant. Yeah. Of course.
He had a big time career had some big seasons with the Giants, and then just kind of was a guy for a while. And then the Leo Mazzoni got a hold of him back in those days with the Braves, and he kind of had a career renaissance and finished out with 4 or 5 really strong years as a mid rotation type of guy that was gonna, you know, consistently give you high innings and average results in general. And that's kind of what I'm hearing with Braun, is that he's going to be that kind of innings mid rotation guy, probably more of a number four, you know, number three, number four, but more due to his innings. So is that a Burkett?
There he is. John Burkett in the 96 ALCS or ALDS. There he is. He pitched 9 innings in that game, by the way. Good job, John Burkett.
So that's a guy I really like. I don't know. I enjoy him a lot. He's kind of an inning eater guy. I don't know that the K's are going to translate. I'll tell you that right now, that what he has as far as his stuff is probably going to work a lot better with good, you know, forcing guys into contact. Some other names, Herrick Hernandez. Herrick, H-E-R-I-C-K. So Herrick Hernandez, not Eric. So
Eric Hernandez, but with an H.
With an H.
There you go.
Left-handed pitcher that they got. He was 4th round pick this last year out of Miami and moved to the mound 2 years ago. Only like a 5'11 lefty, Robbie. So not quite what you're usually looking for. But the stuff is ridiculous. Mid-90s fastball. Two looks to his slider that really are tough to pick up any differences out of hand. There's a lot of potential that this could be a relief profile, but he's getting a lot of talk similar to, and I hate saying it like this, but he's getting a lot of talk similar to what Strider did in a very similar draft position, very similar pitch makeup. I am not saying he is Strider by any means. And Strider had to, like, basically took two pitches that were 60s and turned them into 80s in order to succeed with that two-pitch mix.
Loud and clear. Got it.
That's not, you know, but coming in, that's what this guy sounds like.
You're Herrick Hernandez. That's cool.
Yeah.
Uncle Ted also says, good stuff. I just like Braun because I think he could contribute this year. So that's his.
Oh, yeah. If Atlanta does want to push, I think that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple fun bats, just because, you know, it's nice to at least talk about some bat. John Gill, G-I-L, shortstop. He was in their 23 international class from Dominican Republic. Double plus speed, really good glove, strong on base skills. And here's a guy I asked somebody about, and he said, well, he's a tall version of Ozzie Albies at the same age. Which I don't know. You guys may not remember.
He'll be good every other year.
Yeah, and he'll disappoint everybody. Is that what you're saying?
Ozzie in the lower levels of the minors in A and A plus ball hit a total of one home run. And I believe in a full year at Rome at low A, he had something like 12 extra base hits. So there was a lot of folks who really thought he was just a contact-oriented guy that wasn't going to work out. Well, he did some working with his swing, but no, Gill's a really fun player. I'm interested to see what he does. Drew Compton, undrafted free agent out of Georgia Tech. He's not your typical sized first baseman, but switch hitter, really good plate discipline. He tried to work to his power in the AFL, and it did not go well. But this is a guy who could have, you know, a like Hal Morris, Sean Casey type of line, you know, that if he really leans into, he could be a high on base guy with really good contact rates and 20 home runs at the top end, if he leans into that. And there's a place for that. But again, has popped up since he was an undrafted free agent. We'll see if that continues to work as he hits, you know, gets into the upper minors. And then their big boy this year, Diego Torres, was their big money outfielder that they signed in the international. 6'4", and he's listed at 170 on his signing card. If that boy is anything less than 2.25, based on the photographs that they took with him at his signing day, I would be very impressed. He is a very filled out 6'4" already at 16. But switch hitter, big raw power. We'll see how that translates to the game. But
okay,
the Braves are finally able to get back into the international market. And so far they have gone stars and scrubs in their international market. So we'll see how that works for them. So far it hasn't. A guy like John Gill was one of their scrubs that has popped up, so you never know.
By the way, Hal Morris hit 340 one year.
Yeah,
I remember it like it was yesterday. I had his yellow Fleer card. Oh, the yellow ones, remember those?
So, and here's a fun
thing. Said he hit a gaudy 340, and that's how I learned what the word gaudy meant. I never knew until I was like 11 years old.
I remember when those came out. You guys all remember the Beckett baseball card price guide?
Of course. Yeah. Yes.
Their review of that set, the guy who wrote it up said, the yellow backs remind you of kissing your sister. And my first thought immediately was, and you know about kissing your sister how? So, and this is me at like 12 going, so how do you know about kissing your sister, dude? Like, okay, sorry, that's just a memory I have, you know?
So. Well, that was odd, yes, to say the least. What a strange wording. What about you, Robbie? Is there anybody else you want to mention here in the Brave system? I mean,
I was afraid.
I can't believe Ben missed anyone.
Well, I was afraid he wasn't going to say Torrance, so I almost put him on my next three, but I honestly haven't seen game footage of him.
No.
Like, you see complex, like, Cuban, Dominican, wherever, complex leagues. Yeah. not legit game scenarios yet, but obviously, you know, he got paid, as when we were fortunate enough to talk to Ben Badler last year, he got paid for work he did two summers ago when he was, you know, 14 turning 15, and now we're going to see what he is. But very much like Detroit's Rodriguez J15 signing, the body on these guys is what we're fascinated at right now. Right? It can't get out of control, so these teams are going to really need to get a hold of it so it doesn't become an issue of the guy, you know, either gets big or the nutrition factors aren't there for him.
He's in
the
Miguel Sandler.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, just goes the wrong way on it. But yeah, that was the only guy I was going to add to it, because Atlanta's got guys, but all my next three from last year kind of fell flat on their face, so I didn't want to talk about Atlanta if I could avoid it. So let's move to the Cubs.
There you go.
Wow, okay.
Wow, dude.
Well, we tell it like it is here, for better or for worse, on the Palazzo podcast. That is two down. There's one left to go here on our wonderful next big three version of the Braves, Cubs, and Diamondbacks. So we haven't talked about the Cubbies. They get too much love in Wrigley Field because of WGN, and everybody had cable in the 90s. It's biased and unfair, kind of like the Braves and TBS. In fact, they both have that in common. Isn't that strange? Oh. But
and remember, the Cubs were about the only thing in town for a long time from basically in the Great Lakes heading west. So that upper part of the market still to this day has a lot of Cubs radio stations.
My childhood cable package had both. I got Cubs and Braves, but it was Braves was very upsetting because they got rid of all of the shows I used to watch at 5 minutes and 35 minutes past the hour during baseball season.
You always bring that up.
Yeah.
You still can't let it go.
I'm fascinated by the 5 minutes after, because it was such an interesting marketing thing. If you'd missed the start of the show you wanted at the top of the hour, bottom of the hour, you could still catch it on TV. A fascinating way to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, you're right. That is true. All right, so it's time to get in the Chicago Cubs, our final segment of tonight's show. And this is a system that has a lot of talent, I think, or at least appears to be, and some guys have fizzled out and haven't worked out so well. Some names on this list will be familiar to you because I feel like I've heard them before, because they haven't quite grown to where they need to be, maybe. That's just my opinion. Let's see what the great Benjamin Chase has to say. Who are the top three Cubs this year, and who'd you have last year? Any changes?
So last year I had Pete Crow Armstrong, who is no longer eligible for good reasons. He made it to the majors and spent too much time there. Cade Horton, who, that didn't go so well. And then Matt Shaw, who should be starting in Chicago this year at third base. So that was a pretty solid.
See what that oblique says about it, though. Yeah, oh, boy.
This is true. But so this year I did keep Shaw, and then I added Moises Ballesteros and Owen Casey. They very obviously made, and we saw this just recently, they made the decision between Casey and Alexander Canario, who are both strong corner outfielders who they kind of needed to figure out. They had already decided to add Kevin Alcantara to the 40 man. And so it was just a matter of, you know, which one is their guy? Is it going to be Casey? Is it going to be Canario? They let Canario go. He's already signed now with the Mets. Don't know that there's going to really be, we'll see if the Mets can actually develop that. But Casey is a big Canadian guy that can swing the bat hard, and he's actually a better athlete than you would think for a guy with his offensive profile.
Because he's
profile.
Canadian? Screw you, Ben.
No,
screw
you. Because his reputation is power.
Wow, dude.
Power and on base. And so normally those guys aren't guys you think of that when they get out in the outfield, he can really move around. And he's not a great base stealer. But if he's on first and he gets a few steps going, he's a pretty good base runner after that point. It's just a matter of he's not that guy you're ever going to really steal 30 bases with. So
right. All right, Robbie, who was last year's, and are there any changes to 2025 Cubs top three?
Yeah, last year. Sorry, I just want to keep my notes and our timelines here. I had
wrong one.
Well, I was Arizona. I had Cade Horton. I had Alexander Canario, and I had PCA, as you like to call him, or Pete Crow Armstrong, and
typo.
you know, this year, some of these guys have moved. I have added Matt Shaw, despite the fact that I'm not buying the hype that he's going to be their opening day third baseman. I just don't see what's in it for the Cubs to do it in April. They did sign old man Turner, who former Dinger co-host of mine, Ty, pointed out when I think we were talking catchers, but he found a way to bring up the fact that Justin Turner was bad for a period of time last year with Toronto. And it was when his child, or he had a child that was born during that time. Oh, that's why. Cause he was talking about Alejandro Kirk struggling. And he said that Kirk had a child last year. And after the sleep schedule or whatever got sorted out, all of a sudden he turned it around. And then he referenced that that also happened with Justin Turner, but none of that gets reported. However, Ty stalks these Blue Jays and knew that information. I feel bad for their children. But for us, for fantasy, that was a tip that we got. So I think Justin Turner, it's realistically his job to underperform all spring and disappoint front office to the point that they would be almost forced to give Shaw a shot. But I don't think that's why Turner signed. I think they were like, we could use you. You can see where you are. And we got a next man up scenario for you. So he's on my list. Cade Horton is repeating. The talent's there. Let's see what he can do in, you know, year two, attempt number two in the pros. And then, of course, because I've already done it twice tonight, I put a flipping catcher on Moises Ballesteros. and Ballesteros, I also acquired in the last 2 weeks in a dynasty league.
Oh, wow.
That was me trading for former Cub, or sorry, I traded away former Cub Zahir Hope. In a somewhat blockbuster deal.
Hope is gone.
It was. Hope is gone to that. But when we get to the Dodgers, we'll talk about the players in that particular fantasy deal. But Ballesteros was the catcher I had swapped from the other guy that was suggested, which was Seattle Mariner Harry Ford. I said, you get rid of Ford, give me Ballesteros, I'll make this deal. This is a guy that's had a particular fantasy guy, or you know, dynasty mind, that has really wanted Hope for a while, and I was able to make that happen. So those are my guys for this year: Ballesteros, Horton, and Shaw. To be honestly, guys, this is boring. These are guys that are all logical, you know. I like when we can get a little funky with it, but sometimes the system just doesn't have enough meat on the bone to really argue over six guys could have been here. I think there were four and we just discussed them.
And I think that's, unfortunately, the Cubs have a great system, but it's about seven deep. And they're elite, but they're seven deep. So,
Like, I love Casas. I thought that would be fun to put him on there, but I just felt like Horton was potentially not getting love from people. And Shaw was kind of an obvious one. If you don't put him on, like, he hasn't done the thing where you're like, oh, he's an MLB-er. Like, that's not it yet. It's just a foregone conclusion by all of us that he's going to get the time. And we know the Cubs never miss, right? Matt Mervis just fully established himself a couple years back, right? And that didn't happen.
It was kind of Waldrip-y, it seems like, with Horton, too. There's quick dismissal in a sense. But I wouldn't pull the plug yet either.
And his was more injury, I think, because similarly, Waldrip came in with a ton of control issues, showed control issues at the majors on his first look, and folks went, oh my gosh, he's never going to make it. Right. And Horton came in with injury stuff, had a big injury, and everyone goes, oh my gosh, he's never going to stay healthy. Well, okay, your first time that it proves his original thought doesn't mean that that's forever. You know, that's it happened to happen one time. Let's not assume
is a scarce thing. Patience is always hard to find. So who are your next big three then in the Cubs systems, Benny?
Well, last year I had Casey, I had Ballesteros, and I had James Triantos, who's one of those seven guys, but doesn't happen to make my next three.
As far as
this team, that's kind of their seventh guy of this group. I have Horton, I have Jefferson Rojas, who took a big step forward at shortstop this year. Really impressed with him on the field, and bat is kind of what the bat has been, and but then Kevin Alcantara is the other one that I have in there. And he's on the 40 man. And I'm really curious this year to see who gets the first outfield call, if it'll be Alcantara or if it'll be Casey. That's going to be kind of my fun watch with the Cubs this year. Cause somewhere someone's going to get hurt. They're going to call up one of those two, and I'm really kind of curious as to which one it'll be.
I'm just an average Joe, you know, with the average job, and I'm your average white suburbanite slob. But I saw Kevin Alcantara at the AFL, and there's a lot of hype about him, so I was looking forward to seeing him. I didn't come away that like, whoa, dude, man.
This you don't, guy, and that's just it.
He's tall and lanky. He's got a body that he could fill out into, but...
Coming off the bus, he's a guy that you get impressed by. But that's,
yes.
I mean, he's way more impressive walking off the bus than he is doing anything in the field. And that's kind of been his hype since he was a Yankees prospect.
Which so. I was just going to say, and he falls underneath that. We have known of him for too long as a prospect, right? It was what?
There it is.
18, I think he signed, something like that. It was a long time ago. So he has gone through the hype and the down, you know, spike, and
the now he's back
on the rise. So we'll see what he really is. But he's an interesting one to have on the next. I mean, he should maybe be in the next organization if it doesn't end up being the Cubs that are going to give him the time this year. So
yeah. Is he on yours?
No, he's not on my. What is it? Delete that. Oh my God, I don't want to ever see that again. If you're curious, at 1 hour, 11 minutes, and 20 seconds, go find us on the YouTubes and check out what I don't want to ever see posted again. So my next three from last year for the Cubs, followed by this year. Last year, I think I did okay. I had Jackson Ferris, who was traded like by the time the podcast aired, I think. That was when we did this last year, traded to the Dodgers.
Bush deal?
I had Brody McCullough. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, in the Bush deal. I had Brody McCullough, who 6'4 righty. I was just hoping like not to be in the bullpen and to see something big come. The big hype didn't come for him last year. And then I had Porter Hodge, who 80 innings and 103 Ks at AA. You had to look away from the ERA, but there was hidden value. And he seems to now be somebody that is commonly rostered in Dynasty. So I'm going to pat myself on the back for two of those three, and we're not going to discuss any of the other names I mentioned last year whatsoever. just focus in on the positive, because that's what we're all about here.
It's a new day.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so who's this year's?
This year, I'm hoping for a repeat here. I've got Eli Lovich, who was their 11th round pick in this past year's draft, a 6'4 lefty hitter. Have a look. Clearly needs to hit the gym. Apparently he's a very smart defender. And a project, which I was looking for projects with the Cubs, because it seems like they're very much like the list will graduate quite heavily this year for them. They're going to have a ton of turnover. Okay, there you go. He pulled it up on the screen here. So if you look at those arms, they are thin. He could use some, you know, 15-pound weights and just sit on the couch and do some curls or something. But he's
6'4", not even 200.
Yeah, tall guy. So there's projection within this. I quite like that. I was going to say Gage Workman. I see his name is also on the list. But as a Rule 5 guy, he would have had to fall for me under Big 3, which I don't think he is, because he's very likely to get sent back to Detroit at some point when the Cubs decide,
that who they plug in at third instead of Shaw to open the year, too.
Right. You could easily go Workman and Turner, and then if Workman is clearly not ready, you could just send him right back to Detroit. So the other two that I've got Angel or Angel, however you'd like to pronounce it, Cepeda, 2023 J15 guy. A-ball last year has become very popular amongst the deeper dynasty guys. And the last guy up is 2024 J15 guy, Fernando Cruz, $4 million bonus, 5'11", 155 pounds. Shortstop, lots of tools. DSL last year was relatively disappointing. Sometimes that can happen. Will he come over to Complex this year?
That's what I'd like. He's a real guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
He is. I think he needs to get up the system a little bit, because I have never believed 5'11 on him. Ever.
Any of the videos
or pictures I've seen.
That's
the cousin of Starlin Castro. Right?
Yeah.
Cousins of Starlin Castro. I don't know if that's a good thing.
Let's hope that he's got better attitude than anyway.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly.
All right. So, So
that's it.
So that's the next big three.
Yeah.
Who are the bonus Cubbies. You said it's a heavy seven.
Jack Neely, if you're in a deep league. I want to say Jack Neely because he was a former Yankee prospect as well. And I thought there was starter potential. Yeah. It's now more bullpenny, but I still think he could be interesting. So if you are points league specific, this could be somebody that's interesting. I still think McCullough is fine. I just wanted to see.
I had him on here.
Something happened last year. He didn't. Yeah, he only pitched 14 and two thirds. So,
look at this. You see that?
Oh, that mustache. He's ready to go back to the Yankees. He's ready to go back. But look at that 6'8", 245 as well.
Yeah,
right? Woo.
Big fella.
And they have another one that really fits your size, Jackson Wiggins. He was a second rounder in 23 at Arkansas, and had Tommy John in college. So his last year was not so good. He was still kind of working his way back last year. Huge raw stuff, 6'6" righty, with big stuff, but the control isn't there yet. But how much of that is coming back?
Oh wow, I missed
how much of that is.
So the scouting report I looked at on him when I walked away was not as kind as Fangraphs has been. Fangraphs has 70'd his fastball. Yeah. So I don't think you can
see Jackson Wiggins one.
Human eye.
It's a holy crap fastball.
For Wiggins?
Yeah.
And 55 slider. So so what I'm gonna have to double check my reports. I was looking at that because this is far more promising.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a two pitch, but his delivery, if you watch it here, it's like he gets to a spot and he's something's hot. He doesn't fully extend out. And so he shortens shortens his first step or his front step, and then really shortens up his arm motion. You know, if you can see it a lot better from the back, you watch his arm motion. It's just like all of a sudden it's like, okay, we have a nice swing through. Nope, gotta go now. And it's just like, wait.
Interesting.
Anyway, that's just the fun arm that I thought that you might enjoy as well. Nico Seglin. They signed him out of the Mexican League this last year.
Oh, okay.
Was a college pitcher and did not get any interest in the draft, and so went to the Mexican League, made one appearance, and then the Cubs signed him. And this is a guy with a really heavy mid-90s, can touch 98-99 sinker, and can spot it wherever he wants within the zone. But there's really not much else. It's definitely a reliever profile, and you know there's a change, there's a slider, but they're both kind of just there. And definitely was a man among boys in A-ball this year. I'm interested to see what he does in the upper levels. This could be an interesting reliever, but 90 strikeouts in 66 innings catches your eye. Just like I said, it's a. When he really gets after the fastball, see, and I don't know if that's.
Is that not him?
That's college, though. No, they said after college, he found another gear on his fastball. And that's.
Right, okay.
That's
that Gonzaga.
Yeah, he couldn't get any interest, and then all of a sudden went to the Cubs, and all of a sudden, you know, there he is. Last year, the Cubs drafted Cole Mathis out of Charleston. He was a two-way guy and just moved
CFC. To
hitting only. Yeah, College of Charleston.
Love Charleston. I used to live there. Love Charleston.
Big, big raw power. Really good eye. This is going to be a project, though. So if he isn't hitting well next year, don't give up. Because like I said, this is going to be his first full year as a hitter only. So it's going to take a little time. Triantos, we did mention him before. Probably a bat first utility guy. I like him a lot in that role.
A lot of people in fantasy were getting the boners over him.
Because of his AFL, he hit like 400, and everyone's like, "Oh my gosh!"
That's what it was. He hit an inside the park homer when I showed up AFL night of 2023, I believe. And everybody it was a gathering at the ballpark for the first pitch thing, and he had just hit it inside the park homer, and everyone's like, "Triantos, we gotta have it."
Yeah, at that time, too, there was also a clear path to playing time in the outfield. Yeah. That's all gone and clogged. And
he's had some struggles with picking stuff up in the outfield. he can play there, but he's not what you want as far as a defender out there. But two fun outfielders. Jacob Wetzel was a undrafted free agent out of community college and was in A ball this year, old for the level, 5'9", 215 pounds. So, you know, kind of a bigger looking dude, but just really sprayed the ball around well. You know, just leaned into what he has, and that's a really good line drive swing, and sprayed the ball around the park. And 12 triples last year, I believe, was in like the top two or three in the minor leagues. So not really that great of a base stealer, but is a really smart ball player. And so it makes sense that he would do that. Another one, Brett Bateman, because of course I'm going to have to mention a University of Minnesota guy. Eighth round pick in 23, zero power at all. But this is a guy who can play really good defense, make contact, and has good speed. You know, perfect kind of fifth outfielder, fourth outfielder type. And then Robbie, we were talking about a little bit about development. Christian Hernandez.
Yeah.
You brought up Carlos Colmenares, I think, every time we talk about the Rays.
Whenever and I can.
those two were the two big name guys in 2021 in that market. And he's been a slow developer, but man, did Hernandez take a step forward this year and looked much more comfortable at the plate. And the thing is, I think what folks don't get is he's still not at a crazy age where he's what, 21, 20 this year?
Yep, 21.
Yeah, he's not failed. He's just.
No.
And he just turned 21.
Baseball. So every reason that he should be in Double A at some point this year. And Double A at 21, 22, that's a pretty solid step.
Yep.
But he really can handle. His eye at the plate was obviously better this year and tapped into a little bit more of his power and was smarter on the bases. All those little things that are just a lot of times just a maturity thing. When you sign at 16, it's just not everybody is Juan Soto and goes from signing, playing 1 year in the DSL, 1 year in rookie ball, and then the next year you're in the majors. That doesn't happen for everybody. So I would take a look at Hernandez because I think he'll be fun to watch. So
you didn't mention Birdsell, did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't actually.
So I think this could be somebody that comes up depending on your league depth or if you're in a redraft and it might work out that he will be promoted at a time when he could become a two-star pitcher. One of the things I love to do, we did a lot with the Jesus Take the Wheel pick, was you would pick a guy that was starting Tuesday, Wednesday this week with the hope that they would get two starts the following week. So you're kind of jumping the gun, three starts in 2 weeks, however you want to put it. Birdsell could be interesting with that. Certainly going to watch what he does this year, but he could be somebody because of his 2022 fifth round draft stock. The Cubs don't see a whole lot of, haven't had to invest a whole lot into him, but he's been able to tick up the system. So you could just naturally give him a spot. Now, I don't remember if he got put on their 40 man or not. I feel like in 22, they wouldn't needed to, or it's like because he's a 22 draft pick, they wouldn't have needed to any reason. So he's probably not on it, but that doesn't mean somebody doesn't get injured, DFA'd, whatever, and you call him up. Happens all the time. So this could be a pre-summer type guy that comes up if he starts well. And I think he's not being looked at in that way, but they've gone through, like, I'm just looking at names of these guys. Like the Cubs have gone through pitchers over the past like 2-3 years that it makes so much sense that they would need a dozen starting pitchers this year.
Oh, of course.
Like, right. Every team does. And like legitimately he could come in and start for you for consecutive turns in the rotation.
Good Lord, the list of, I was going to say, hey, he is at spring training, but man, looking at the names that are in spring training for the Cubs, Phil Bickford, Chris Flexen, Ben Heller, Brandon Hughes,
Brad Flexen's Keller. Going to be a problem.
Trevor Richards. A problem.
It's like these guys need to opt out of AAA. You know, if they go to Iowa and are content to hang out there for 6 weeks, that's going to be a problem.
Sort of list there. Just kind of everyone that might work for for a little bit as a back end guy. That's pretty much who they have in their. I mean, Brad Keller is a really unfortunate story. Man, he was a fun guy for about a hot minute. But No, Birdsell's, you know, Birdsell and Lucas Braun really aren't that different of pitchers. Very similar, you know, that top end, they're probably a mid-rotation guy, but more than likely they're a back end, up and down sort of starter. And so, and both of them very well could be a guy that their team looks at this year. And, you know, if the Cubs are in it, I don't know that he gets up. But, I mean, if they have starts to make, likely if they have starts to make and they're not in it, it's because they've had so many injuries in their rotation. And there may be a spot for him to come up and make a few starts.
Yeah, like I can't believe Boyd's getting 30 starts and Tyon's doing 30 starts this year. One of them's going to miss. Imanaga was.
Wow, dude.
I can't remember who was saying they felt like Imanaga was going to do better in their first MLB year than Yamamoto. Whatever the person was, I kind of backed it after thinking logically about, you know, younger versus more veteran approach that Imanaga has. And it worked out well in the leagues where I picked him up. But I also don't know that we're going to see another flawless year, especially from the start standpoint. Oh. And if by chance this Cubs lineup is competitive, they might be doing the let's throw a guy in here and skip you once here and let's line up that you don't start before or after the All-Star break. Yep. And that's where you can get some of these other guys like Birdsell that could come up for a bit. And then, if they stick, Justin Steele could be somebody you trade away because you think you can get back whatever the hell you need with him because you've got a few guys that have clicked. So
makes sense.
If you look at the Cubs depth chart on MLB.com, 8 guys listed as rotation options.
Right.
Oh, you know, yeah. Because you got the, guys you've mentioned, Javier Assad as well.
Right. That's who's Colin, projected for SP5, right?
Colin Ray. Jordan Wicks and Ben Brown, all as potential rotation. So I mean, Birdsell's going to have to get around a number of guys, but at the same time, it's like Robbie was saying, it could also end up being one of those things where he lines up, he's on the rotation and would make a start that day. They don't have anybody else who's going to be able to be really ready for a start that day. And he gets called up for a doubleheader start, makes a nice impression. And then they keep him around for a couple of starts or something like that.
Just give him a second turn in the rotation and then somebody tweaks to this or that. And all of a sudden, you know, he's doing the, oh my gosh, what was the, who was the San Francisco Giant 2 years ago that did that? Stuck around and everybody got all excited for him last year, and he got hurt.
We'll think about
that. Isn't that Birdsong?
No. Similar.
No.
Birdsong.
No. Well, let's think about it. I gotta go. I'm sorry. I was being patient here. You guys are getting deeper and deeper to the rotation. I'm like, okay, we covered the Cubs. We have covered the Cubs.
We have.
I gotta do it. But remember that. We're still trying to get to 1,000 subs, guys. So we'd love to get your subscription here in the video world of YouTube. And you get to see more, too. In the podcast version, we give you the audio, but you get extra stuff here when you actually watch us. And you can watch us even if you miss us when we're live, too. You can chat, comment, and we will respond. We get a lot of that, and we do appreciate that. I guarantee Pistol is going to respond and be the first commenter on this video. He always is. He's so nice. Thank you, Pistol, for always commenting on our videos after the fact. You're like clockwork, and grateful for that. So make sure you guys subscribe. Please follow these guys on Twitter. Our Discord is free. And who is that Giant? Did you figure it out?
Keaton Wynn.
Keaton Wynn. Yes.
That was the one.
I was there. I was loving it.
Yeah. So the bird can become Keaton Wynn. That's what I'm going to predict.
That doesn't sound too bad. Keaton Wynn, when he wasn't hurt, was showing.
Exactly. So I'd love that. Same deal. 2018, like a couple years back, but fifth round pick. So they weren't too invested in him financially, so they let him come up because he was succeeding, and you know, yada yada. We all got excited. He got hurt. So
could
be his entryway to the Cubs, right?
Exactly. Yeah. There's a better day tomorrow. Yep. And that's why we love doing the show. We're going to do our next show next week. We got 3 more teams lined up with a whole slew of prospects to discuss. Our next Big 3 series carries forth. Join us next week live on the Plutzel Podcast YouTube channel. Thanks so much for being here. Robbie Beach, and with Chase, myself, Michael Gobier, and everybody from the Plutzel Galaxy of Stars. It's time for me to go talk about Awakenings on Cinema 9. Bye-bye. Prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything.
Stanford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.